some prime butt. Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
Episode 147.
Hey, we did that right here. This time.
Yeah, I was really, actually...
I was like sitting there for a second, like, please do it, please do it. Please I'm Sean, up. I'm like, what's up?
Please fuck up. No, it'd be really smooth if one time we fucked it up, but like, we just like, acknowledged it, but like, kept on the
just
entire
kept on,
way.
Yeah.
It's like... I said, I'm Dan, I said, I'm Sean, you went high.
Yeah.
And we switched it. Anyways.
That would actually be pretty funny.
Episode 147, three albums for you as usual. Women in Music Part 3 by Haim, City on Lock by City Girls, so you don't have to, and Punisher by Phoebe Bridgers. Three pretty...
interesting albums.
Yeah, interesting albums. Good to talk about.
Two indies and one ratchet shit, so...
Yeah. We have... A little bit of news, just a sprinkling of news. Even an appearance from Slim Pickens itself, Music Business Worldwide. And...
Tell you what, it's rough in these streets when I see that. I'm like, all right.
Clearly. And music news singles, as we're talking about. Yes. As we're getting into singles, actually. Know My Rights by Black featuring the newly woke Lil Baby was a song that came out. Black released a larger EP, I think it's called Six Piece. I think it's pretty solid music. Like Black, once he releases for his little corner of like Trap and B, as we kind of coined it off of him, pretty good. I think when he releases like a proper full album in the next year or so, will be even better. But a single off of that, mainly the lead one, was Know My Rights featuring Black and Lil Baby. It's this usual sort of like, not even directly related to the stuff that's happened over the past month or so, but just like this general standing up for oneself kind of song. So many war wounds, I had to make more tunes. Gotta cancel these niggas, they canceled. Couldn't even enjoy June. But I'm a living, walking, fun guy. Even though I had some tough times, made my bed on the front line. Interesting. I don't think that one particularly is great. I think the rest of the album
is a lot better than this. This feels like you're just standard, like, normal production trap. I'm like, all right, it's kind of whatever to me.
Yeah, I'm starting to get some industry plant ekings about Lil Baby. I'm just a little suspicious. He's popping up a little bit too much, and he's not really that special. Yeah. And then, of course, because K-pop blesses us, and so we bless K-pop back, there is a song, Blackpink's How You Like That, which is... A pretty standard, not necessarily pop song, but almost sounds like a standard, like, big house, like, not big house, but like, big festival EDM song.
Yep.
And its production, how it's built up. Not too annoying. It's still like kind of smoothened out for a pop landscape.
It's very quite produced, but I mean that's normal for it.
Yeah, not too much. Apparently, it's broken like extreme records on YouTube for being it's broken the record for most views in 24 hours. The time of K-pop's wild, dude.
Holy shit.
At the time of recording this, which is just like 2 days after it's released. We're currently looking at 131 million views.
Jesus Christ.
Wild. Yeah. So there's...
It's all right. It's not a bad song.
Yeah, it's not a bad song. It's just not particularly inspired or special per se. But yeah, it's perfectly fine. I wouldn't be like, hey, turn that shit off.
No, it's on the background. All right.
Yeah. I know. Those are some of the singles this week. There are, of course, other singles there, but we brought up some of the highlights. As far as what is on in the feed and what's going on, pretty mild this summer. It's a little bit too mild almost. I feel like we're going to get some random huge release soon.
Yeah.
But we have some stuff cooking, some special podcasts that we'll talk about. It'll be released and you will listen to them and it'll be great. We just did a political report number 6. So check that out.
Until we change the name.
Yeah, until we figure out the name. This you would have really appreciated the name. This time it was the Beto of Work of Venezuela.
That's fucking hilarious.
But check out political.
I'm Hispanic.
No, that was so John Bolton's book, hashtag no politics. In John Bolton's book, a couple stuff's been leaking out. Apparently, one little tidbit was that Donald Trump referred to Juan Guaido as the Beto O'Rourke of Venezuela.
That's hilarious.
That's wow.
Okay. How did I not hear that?
That's gunshot. That was an amazing
ball. That's a fucking backhand bitch slap in the face.
Once or twice a year, you have to go to Donald Trump and it's like, I respect the craft.
Yeah, because like, that's when you get baby powder on your hand and you just like slap that bitch. Like, damn.
That was really intense. But yes, there's plenty in the podcast feed to keep people busy. There's plenty in the podcast feed to keep people busy. And keeping me busy is Dan from the Internet 20. Please stop bugging me about it. I promise it's going to be really good. And you're going to you're gonna click on the video and you're going to see it for like 1 second. And you'll be like, oh, that's why it took him so long.
And we'll do some other albums we've missed and stuff for sure coming up.
Yes, we've definitely got that coming up too. We got to plan that.
Because everything has been delayed until July and August. So, you know. Whoops.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yes, so getting into the news really fast before we do our first review. Beyonce has an album coming out, so it turns out that the Black is King visual thing and everything that came out over the past couple of weeks, like the single and all that stuff, is part of a larger project, which just kind of makes sense. Beyonce is the epitome of that kind of artist who can just say, I'm doing something, here's how you consume it, whatever. There's no need for like a whole media run-up or anything like that. Like we were just talking about how a lot of artists had to cancel or just move around their dates. Some artists have just transcended the release cycle and can do it whenever they want to because they're just so big.
Yeah, there's one of those. The interesting thing, though, is it's going to be exclusively through Disney Plus.
Yeah, the visual album.
The visual album, yeah. Which I don't know how that's going to work.
It's not too unusual. So here's what happened last time this happened, which I think was with Lemonade. And I think Lemonade had a visual album. It was exclusive to Tidal, and back then all of Beyonce's
all the stuff was all on Tidal. Because since then, the Jigga Man.
Since then, the Carters have moved to Spotify.
The Carters.
And so I would expect that the regular streamable version will be available on Spotify within at least a week or so of it being on Disney Plus. But the visual album and like Beyonce is. Like has her stature because as a performing artist, she's very good. So I think the visual album will be worth watching if you
want to. Definitely watching it.
Yeah, if you already have Disney Plus and want to get a free subscription to the Disney Vault, as I call it, then might as well go ahead.
Fortunately, they own Star Wars, so they have me by the balls. So you know.
This is a slightly related story. I kept it out because it's too slim pickings, but it's kind of funny. Just like how Disney Plus is kind of flexing their audio muscles with what they can do and saying, okay, Beyonce's going to be exclusive, or this visual album's going to be exclusive to us. Spotify just made a play to have all of the audio podcast serial shows for the DC Cinematic Universe on Spotify podcasts. So it's kind of like a secret Joe Rogan deal they're doing on the side. That happened over the past couple of weeks. It's it's always, of course, these are bets because who knows if people are going to want to hear like a Batman and the Joker audiobook. I mean, like War of the Worlds and radio shows like that, like radio serial shows have been really popular. And I'm saying this word serial because like that's a big podcast that has an episodic format that did really well. So it's possible to have a good thing on their hands with this. But interesting releases and release styles come and go. As years and years go by, and we talk about them all the time on Audio Face.
Yes.
Anyways, let's go into there we go.
Our first review.
Yes, our first review is Women in Music Part 3 by Haim. It is 51 minutes long, and depending on how you count it,
because you have in the Spotify version, you have 3 bonus tracks at the end. So then you either have 16 or 13 songs long.
Yes. And actually, I'll just kind of go out and say it. This is probably one of my favorite indie albums to come out from this year. I think it's really 100%. Well balanced, really tightly produced, and
this has one of my favorite indie songs I've heard in a long time.
I can't wait to hear what that song is, but I can just say, like, as a top view of the album before we really dig into it, there are a lot of albums, especially a lot of albums, we review on this podcast where maybe it's a decent album and I'm sold the first 3 songs in.
And then after that, it's just bleh.
So like meh or whatever. I was only like looking at my phone wondering what song it was to go like, how long is this hit parade going to continue?
Yeah.
Like how long does it continue going? Because there was really no song on here where I was like, this album is overstated its welcome.
There's no, like, as I went, I'm reviewing it before the bonus tracks, is how I would do
yes,
it.
Yes, that's how I did too.
And before those, like, to the full album, I had the same exact thing where I'm like, there's no song that's out of place. The actual placing of the music itself as well, where, you know, usually a lot of times we'll say, we like this week, it was structured differently. It was structured perfectly, where FUBT, the last track, it's a perfect ending track for it, just to get ahead of myself. You have stuff in the middle, like 3 a.m., which is hilarious because it's like a little booty call, like most incel thing ever at the beginning. I'm like, that's, oof, that's rough. You have the opening track, Los Angeles, that is, I really, really, really like that as an indie track. That's my favorite song on the album. Because I listened to that before, and when I popped it up as an album, I'm like, this song's just ridiculously good. It's funny with Haim because they get a lot of shit online, and I don't know why, maybe just incels. People were like, I was seeing, like, when Pitchfork and Me, whatever, are releasing, like, their, so it's like, oh, best new music, whatever. And people are like, oh, they're just three average white people. Why is, like, this music sucks, this and that. I'm like, dude, they're fucking fantastic. Like, the other albums, I've, like, hit and miss. I like the first album, 2013, compared to the last album that came out maybe 3-4 years ago.
Days Are Gone was their first album.
Days Are Gone's really good.
And then Something to Tell You from 2017. Yes.
They Didn't Tell You I didn't like as much as Days Are Gone, and the But Woman in Music Part 3 is, this is really good.
Yeah.
And the
just to clear up the name really fast, yeah.
There's no part one or two.
I guess you'd consider their first two albums Part 1 and Part 2.
Sure, but if you wanted to. But
yeah, there's no continuing series.
And also they are three sisters, which I always think is really cool.
Yeah, that's rad. But as you were saying about...
Anyways, the thing that I brought up this, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I was saying that indie is taking over the rock scene and they're the ones who are going to bring it back. Like, that is the traction of it.
Yes.
For sure, this is saying this is where the genre is really cooking. This is where the most experimentation, the best stuff to where this can go mainstream but still be different enough to other indie music itself and be unique in its own end and bring the genre a little bit forward. Another thing I want to bring up is how good female artists are in indie. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. I think it's almost becoming like trap where the female artists are better than the male artists, because the indie male artists, I think, are really, they're either super overproduced and become into pop, or they're usually really whiny and selly. There's kind of no in between. The only really good one, I think, is Dive, which is still one of my favorites.
But and you have a couple good ones, like
Tori Ma, but I wouldn't, I mean, he's so broad with his range, because he's...
But I mean, like, you would still, out of all the other genres, I wouldn't indie, yeah. really put him anywhere else but indie, and maybe that's, like, a something to say about the indie genre itself.
Exactly.
But Muramasa is another example that comes to mind, of men who are, like, pretty decent in indie, but, like, yeah, when we're thinking about MXM Tomb,
and they have B2B, you have Haim, like, there's a lot of these female artists that are just pumping out fucking great records after one another,
yeah.
especially this year. This is fantastic.
So you were just talking about Los Angeles, which is a really good opening track. Every song on this album starts like really kind of punchy, and like mm-hmm. every song kind of begins and ends with a lot of power, even though not every song is very up-tempo and punchy. Every song really has this really characteristic.
The production of it's fantastic. The drums on Los Angeles itself too are amazing. Give me a miracle, I just want out from
Yeah.
I love the theme of it where it's like, oh, I go to this city, it's not my home, maybe I want to leave because this and that. And it's, if you know a lot of people who have gone here to become something and it's always failed or doesn't come to fruition, it's which is 95% of people who do that.
Get off our freeways.
Yeah, please. Leave the 5 alone. God damn, and the 10. Jesus, get off them. It's cool to hear that where it's like, it's its own sad song without being too sad boy-y.
Yeah, sad girly.
It's sad girly. And I love that because that's a lot of the theme of this album. 3 a.m. is hilarious. You have a couple other songs in the middle where they have this little like phone conversation thing back and forth too, where I like the effects of it. It's very, very good.
Yeah, I think every single... What is really characteristic about this album, what really makes it good, is that every single song has a sort of Haim stamp on it. It feels characteristically them.
Okay.
To that, I mean, like... even in Los Angeles, there's sort of this playful, I don't like to be here, there's a lot of things I'd rather be doing. Mm-hmm. It's like this sort of playful, cynical, but also very, like, biting. Because mm-hmm. a lot of it's also a lot of, again, I'm not as plugged into exactly why the music world has certain opinions about Haim. You can see it from one perspective, it's like, oh, look at all these white women. Or you can just look at this perspective, it's, oh, look at all these women. And there's a lot of different ways to come at it in a different light. I mean, if you're talking about diversity in music and Audioface, kind of just accidentally, we reviewed a ton of women of color artists last week, and this episode's almost all women this week. It just kind of just happens because that's who's releasing music right now.
That's what we did, yeah.
And that's how we're taking it in as a musical project. But it has this really nice, I guess tone's not the best word to use here, but it has a really nice style and message to it mm-hmm. that comes across in all the songs, lyrically and instrumentally.
The vocals, and, yeah. it's very, very good. Quick little thing, which I thought was very interesting, I just found that out this morning, is who do you think took the album cover picture?
I would have no idea. I know it's in Los Angeles somewhere.
One, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Really?
My favorite fucking movie film director.
Did not know that.
Yeah. I guess he knows them or something, because he's big into music. He's done stuff with Radiohead and other bands before. He did Thom Yorke's Anima, little film project for Netflix. But he took this picture and some other stuff within the band, for the band, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, that's pretty
rad. So I just found out this morning. I'm like, wait, what? Because I saw his Instagram thing he posted, and I'm like, wait, I didn't know that. So.
Yeah, Man from the Magazine is like one of the more amazing songs on here. Is that your favorite one?
Yes.
Or? Yes. You don't know how it feels. You expect me to deal with it till I'm perfectly numb. But you don't know how it feels.
Los Angeles is a close second, but Man, the Magazine is fan-fucking-tastic. That's the, third to last on the album. That was, to me, like, the crescendo of the album. That was my favorite, like, that was the peak point of where I'm like, god damn, this is really good. Only have two last songs to end it. I'm like, that is the perfect song to have towards the end of the album, and then you have two others that go and wrap it up, and it's just
it's a great place to put it. And yes. Like, it has this crescendo feeling, like I said, it's a great place to put it in the album, but it has this crescendo feeling, but it's an acoustic song. It's a really quiet acoustic song, but again,
so much,
it's produced very
it.
Well. There's a lot of feeling in the voice. It kind of builds up near the end, but doesn't like crash or do something mm-hmm. overblown. It mm-hmm. always just kind of stays in its own. And then like the last word, all the way down to the last lyric, kind of gets back to that Haim style of, it's beautifully produced, crafted, kind of biting commentary on the feeling of like womanhood that they're describing. So it's just really powerful shit.
Exactly. It's good. Very, very, very good. Impressed by them a lot.
Yeah. I did, like you said, shout out 3M was super funny and just really good.
Yeah, it's just, I like, yeah, there's a lot of little things, quirks in this album that make it very unique. Anyways, so.
The arbitrary scale this week are things that get you banned from Twitch. We are learning that there are a lot of things.
A lot of things that they just added now to get you banned from Twitch. And
a lot of people have been going down. Some of these things have just been regular, like, content, using music or other copyright material that you don't have. And other things are, require the people talking about them to lawyer up. So there's a lot going on in the world of Twitch. But anyways, arbitrary scale, because arbitrary scale, whatever, that's how Audioface rolls. This is a really good album. I'm probably gonna put this on the short list for best indie
for sure
albums. This is not a drop, this is an album for sure of the year. So I'm gonna give this to the old Mujahideen. That was a
Mujahideen. I was gonna say, this is when you accidentally, as a white dude, on like you get shot up and you say the N-word like 47 times.
Oh, this is a heated gamer moment.
Yep, there we go. Thank you.
This is the heated gamer moment.
This is the heated gamer moment where you just say the N-word 47 times, and you just sit there and you're like, "Oops," and then you get banned, and then immediately just like channel shuts down. Just,
and then immediately Shane Dawson, after gawking at one of the Smith kids, gets on air and goes, you gotta remember, think about this guy. Everyone, we've all been there, right? We've had a heated gamer moment before. That's just incredible content. Also, rip Shane Dawson.
Goddamn.
Ripperoni to Shane Dawson. All right. In this segment of Westworld, the world of Kanye West, this is not too political.
Arnold.
This is not too political too much, thankfully. But we have two bits of Kanye West-related news as he's extending his, according to the notoriously unreliable Forbes magazine, billionaire streak.
I'm a billionaire!
Again, like, never forget, maybe this was a little bit before audio phase, but Kanye West was begging Mark Zuckerberg for money.
Yep.
At least as recently as 2017.
Yeah, because it looks like he was going broke for a second.
Like, I don't know how you, like, marry into the Kardashian family and go broke, but cool, dude. Kanye West has struck a deal with Gap to serve as the clothing retailer's new creative director, designing what are being called in probably some press release written by a white dude, modern elevated basics for men, women, and kids at accessible price points. First of all, the Gap still exists. It is called Yeezy Gap. It will roll out during the first half of 2021, and of course it's very Yeezy and Gappy, of course, just has the logo like that.
See, peak Gap was when the Gap did the Daft Punk commercial in, like, 2001.
That was incredible with Digital Love, I think.
Yeah, yes, it was.
That, I mean, you never know, because there's Kanye sneakers, which have done pretty well from a branding perspective. There's the fact that I remember Kanye West sold t-shirts that were just, like, plain white t-shirts for about $125 each. So, like...
And jeans that are, like, $400. Like, he's not a man, people. Yeah,
that being said, Gap is notoriously known for, in addition to, like, a lot of sweatshop labor, in addition to not having a unionized workforce, is probably also known for being, like, a cheaper alternative, kind of a standard go-to for, less definitely American shoppers. Fairly stylish, not, like...
Yeah, it's, like, a solid middle class, like, choice.
Yeah, working class.
Working class choice. And it's never the best quality, but it'll get you good.
Yeah. And I'm always down to see, like, you don't have to be the best quality to have a good thing. So it could be totally fine. And, of course, a lot of people love Kids See Ghosts. It's a really kind of, like, beloved project out of Kanye's weird thing that he did a couple years ago. Ooh. But Kanye West and Kid Cudi are going to voice characters on an animated program.
I have not seen that bear in a long time.
Yes, Kanye West is playing as the graduation bear.
Ooh.
And
throwback.
Kid Cudi is going to be playing as Star Fox. And what is looking like a... No, it's a fox character. It's going to be directed by Japanese artist Takashi Murakami. And he created the album artwork for Graduation and Kids See Ghosts.
That's why the bear's back.
Well-known, well-prepared. It's good they are bringing him back for that. There's no release. It says it's coming soon. I don't know. I'm
2020, allegedly.
I mean,
like, who knows?
On the one hand, it's a lot easier to do animation than it is to do live action things.
Sure.
So it could be coming sooner rather than later and be less likely to be delayed because of artist stuff. On the other hand, I'm also still triggered from the, like, four Gorillaz TV shows that I still haven't gotten. So...
This is true.
I'll keep that on. Okay. This does not need to be a quick review. City Girls have released an album, City on Lock. It is 36 minutes long, 15 songs long, and we listened to the City Girls drop project thing, so you don't have to. City Girls got a lot of recognition, kind of clout.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of in last year, kind of being like the precursor to the Hot Girl Summer phase kind of thing. Because
except not being as good as Meg Thee Stallion.
Absolutely not. Not a chance. But like similar kind of vibe, whereas Meg Thee Stallion's music is a lot of promoting women's feeling confident and women feeling sexy, especially. City Girls kind of takes that to an extreme. but like it doesn't really kind of go, it really, that's all it does. It's like a one-trick pony. That's kind of all.
That's all the song. All the songs are that. I think they said the word pussy 1,476 times throughout this album.
Like a metric trillion
times. Oh my God. I was just like, I'm kind of uncomfortable now by the amount of times they have said it, but okay.
Yeah, every song is the same thematically. Like, they're the hottest that can possibly be.
If you're broke, you can't get this.
Yeah, you have to be extremely rich to date them. Men
you need to have Chanel, you need to have Gucci, all this stuff to get them, to date them.
With his BM. I'm about to make them cop me a Birkin just for reaching. Niggas ain't shit, treat them all like tricks. If you ain't trying to pay, then you got the wrong bitch. The only thing white is the lies that you telling. And you ain't moving work, there's dreams that you selling. If you really in the kitchen, pay a bitch tuition. The city grows big.
The one thing I'll say this, the production is really good, which is hilarious.
Really? But I thought the production was like flaming trash.
Like,
I'd
say it's the beginning of the album, like the first maybe 3-4 songs or so, I was like, the production isn't terrible. I was about to say, but the last like 3 songs, I was like, oh my God, this is hot garbage.
Yeah, so the...
And Rodeo might be one of the worst songs I've heard in a long time. Granted, they are signed to Quality Control. So.
I was going to say Rodeo is one of the highlights, but like...
It's bad.
Here's where we need to take a step back, because we talked about the production. Yes. City Girls are Miami-based, and Miami doesn't always get a lot of like recognition other than like Pitbull. But like a lot of recognition in the music world, the music scene, for having this really interesting mix of like...
It's very different for the trap, because this album is super bass heavy and not trap snare heavy at all. Like, there was barely any. And I could appreciate it for that. After a while, it got monotonous, as always, because trap producers like to do the same thing 47 times. But the song, also, the song Doja Cat Pussy Talk, holy shit.
For so many reasons, I'm just not going to touch that. But
it's so bad.
Like, so, yeah, it has a lot of that big bass kind of influence because it is, like, from Miami, tried and true. It's kind of playing with that. And so I'll at least appreciate that it has that attention to detail there. It's, like, at least you can imagine. But, yeah, like, the feminist in me is kind of down for the fact that they are just completely objectifying men. And turning
they're hilarious. Like, I'm already like a rodeo.
I'm one of a kind, JT. I need some long money. A nigga with some Jerry Jones money. A nigga like the rock, bitch, press strong money. A trapping ass nigga getting M's blow money. And I'ma ride you like a horse, I just say. But first you gotta put them racks on the table. And I'ma bust it like a pussy baby. And nah, nigga, I don't wanna be your lady. I make him grow like Pinocchio. I'm a freak like a Scorpio. Let's go live, make a video.
You're like a rodeo. It's like, just hilarious.
Even more, it's like, I'm going to write about men the same way men write about women in their
exactly.
songs. Exactly. Like, borderline to a T. And, like, maybe that's, like, for a man is a little bit uncomfortable.
It's hilarious.
Like, I can also, I completely totally understand someone who just really is not comfortable with any of the lyrics in trap at all.
And this is why, this is my thing I've always said with trap is, like, holy shit, they objectify women like crazy.
Yeah.
And now it's, like, the opposite. I'm like, this is hilarious.
Like, for that, I will admire it. As, like,
yeah,
a
exactly.
Project.
100%.
But, like, here's the thing where I will, like, show I'm trying to be really consistent here is that regardless of what gender the artist has been or like what they're talking about, if an album is basically refreshing the same idea lyrically once in an album, I'm gonna say it's repetitive. I'm gonna say it's annoying. It's a problem with trap writ large where a lot of the songs are topically the same when they're done by men. It's just like
City Girls is definitely this album is just almost the same theme. It's the same thing every single song.
Yeah, it's...
Ooh, I got a burp. Yeah.
Yeah, even when the... I mean, I will also say this. The only time there's variety in this album is when there's a feature, which other than Doja Cat, it's like a couple of men. Noted industry plant Lil Baby on
here. Lil Baby's on here, yep.
For a notably less woke Black Lives Matter song. But yeah, there is... It's... God, what to say about this album. It is too repetitive, and it's a shame because it'd be cool to have this, like, really rockin' duo of women who are really good rappers, and, like, that's just another to add to the repertoire of really awesome rappers who are killing it in the trap and rap music game right now. But no, they're, like, really repetitive. Their subject matter is really bland. Say what you want to about Cardi B or Nicki Minaj or any of these other artists who people always, like, pigeonhole as saying, oh, you're just rapping about, like, making the life of stripping look really good and cool. It's like, no, any one of their albums, you can name 3 or 4 songs that are deeper than
that are very and very different.
Yeah.
I mean, because like on Invasion of Privacy, you have She Bad and the one with Chance the Rapper. And you're like, there's so many other songs on that album that like, that vary up to where I still listen to the album to this day. I really like it.
Yeah.
But then you have this one where they actually have, there's a sound that they can go into it and do little different stuff with it. I think they would actually be quite good. But within it, after a while, I'm like, it's just the same thing over and over again, which is the thing I've always said against trap in general. Yeah. That a lot of the people at Future does that with every single fucking song as well, to where it's just so repetitive. And that's why our favorite trap artists usually are the ones that try something different or do different things within their album as well. So.
Yeah, or at least play with the style a little.
Exactly.
But largely, garbage.
This is the
nicest so you don't have to review. We probably
100% because it's bad, but it's not like it's not Lil Pump bad. It's not horrid.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Yeah, this is a. I'll give this the Dr. Destructo or Deluxe, whatever his name is.
Dr. Disrespect?
Dr. Disrespect, yeah, that's there the one. Go. I'm giving this to Dr. Disrespect because we don't exactly know what's going to happen, but...
This is a solid, like, a DJ that got DMCA'd because he was playing so much music that Twitch is like, we need our own money, and that they got out because of that.
Yeah, see, Amazon, we have to move this money from the Twitch part of the company to the Prime Music part of the company, so we've got to do a little bit
100%.
Of accounting tricks here. Unless we end up like Wirecard and just lose $2 billion. Right? That would have been a great arbitrary.
Don't go and don't use options in Robinhood. You may be down a few mil.
Ripperoni. So, meanwhile, outside of America, right now with coronavirus, it's kind of the main thing that is going on. And what we thought was the peak was actually not. And the disease is getting worse and worse with time. In much of the rest of the world, they've gotten it under control. It's still a problem. It's viruses don't just like choose countries, but they're manageable in different cases based on a number of different factors. Some countries are just easier to manage because they're smaller, and other countries are just managed by better people. But this brings us to Iceland, where because their coronavirus cases are pretty mellowed out and they're able
to kind of...
Yeah, I think they only had like 4 confirmed cases over the past like week or so.
They have 1,800 in total. And that's
just over 1,800 cases found in total. So pretty good.
Meanwhile, in the US, there's a solid, what, 2 milli?
2 milli, we're not good at tests yet.
Yeah.
2 milli, maybe we're underestimating by a factor of 10.
Yep.
Like, it's actually wild. But, yeah, because it's factored in and fixed, Bjork is going to be able to do a couple of live performances in Reykjavik.
In August.
Yeah, in August. People are going to actually be able to buy tickets for these. If you're an American, of course, you're not going to be able to go to them because the EU has a travel ban. The United States has it, feel suckers. But, if you're in Europe or especially in Iceland, you'll be able to go. Of course, tickets will be available. I mean, you'll also be able to watch it as a live stream and watch it online. I don't know if it's going to be free or not, but the proceeds will benefit a charity that supports women and immigrants of different origin within Iceland.
Hmm.
So it's a very timely, thought out, localized sort of tribute for this thing. The shows themselves should be pretty good. Bjork is going to be performing with, and I'm not going to try to pronounce that, choir. And it's also going to include a string ensemble, a brass section, and a flute septet. And each of the performances are going to be a slightly different mix of these orchestral pieces. Mm-hmm. So it'll sound a little bit different.
And it'll support a charity that supports women and immigrants of different origin within Iceland, too. Because, you know, Bjork is a true freedom fighter.
Yes. Well...
Yeah, it's wild.
The whole thing about like alternative ways to do concerts had me sort of thinking it was actually pretty interesting how that's going, because we had the beginning. He's reacting to the number I'm about to tell you, so it's going to be great. We had the beginning of these coronavirus, like post COVID lockdown, performances, and how those look like. A lot of people were doing Instagram lives from their kitchen or whatever, where they're doing music. And those are okay, but they're kind of limited in interactivity and limited in what you can really do with them. But a lot of bands are really starting to unleash what you can really do with these sort of concerts and figure out, most importantly, I think, how you can make money off of them. So what better way to test this theory out than with the largest K-pop band in the world at the time right now, BTS, where they played Bang Bang Kong The Live. It took place on Sunday, June 14th, so it was a little bit earlier this month. But at its peak, the virtual concert attracted 756,000 concurrent viewers from 107 regions. So it's the largest ever virtual audience. It would have been equated to filling a 50,000 capacity stadium 15 times.
Yeah.
That's like a pretty average, like, major arena show concert venue. So online, you could order the ticket for $35 to watch, or if you're a part of the BTS fan club, you got about a $9 or $10 discount.
Okay, so it's not terrible.
No, it's pretty affordable because like what you're getting is the ability to stream something live.
And exactly.
So you have to bring the price down to like almost pay-per-view levels.
Yes.
Which pay-per-view.
But not boxing pay-per-view viewers where it's like $200 to watch some dudes beat each other up.
Yeah. Definitely like a $35 show is well, not again, like not universally affordable, of course, but like well, it's way more affordable than a show you'd go out to.
Uh-huh.
About as affordable as like a show, like at a bar or something.
See, this is what happens when they cut out the middleman.
Yes. Total amount raised, about $19.7 million. That was a $20 million single event live stream pay-per-view concert. Again, this is BTS. There are not a lot of bands who can pull off something that big in that much of a hall, but I think it's much proven that you could do like a live concert where the artists perform locally together. And
you 100% could do that because the amount of Instagram lives and other stuff the artists were doing earlier in quarantine, that there was a lot of viewership within it. We were talking about this too. Yeah. And like all the stuff that people were doing on Twitch until, you know, Twitch happened. There's a lot of viewership and a lot of buzz generating around it. So I think it was only time that this happened. And BTS is definitely the best one to start off with because of the amount of traction that they have with their fans and whatnot. I mean, 750,000 viewers in a live stream is a lot for a live stream.
Yes.
Because most things like that get live stream. Example, if you go to any multimedia, like big multimedia company that they live stream like on their YouTube or something, they'll usually get like, you know, 20,000 or something during a live stream. And then after that, then it's like a couple hundred thousand or whatever it is afterwards, because people like to go view on their own. So for fact, for that event to get, you know, 750,000, that's a lot.
Yeah. Really incredible power. And I think a lot of artists could really stand to do that. And I think Instagram Live can kind of leave something to be desired in like artist or like interaction. Because I think just like watching on a device rectangular that's like up like this, it's just not the same as a concert experience.
Which never
is why
is.
People don't love when people are recording like this, but still, good to see that's possible. Slim pickings. Anyways, Phoebe Bridgers, as an artist, released an album called Punisher. It is.
She's another indie. It is
11 songs long, 40 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. She's another one of these indie artists that. She actually did some stuff on the 1975's album, Notes in a Conditional Form. She was featured on Jesus Christ, God Bless America, whatever that fucking title was. Thanks, Maddie. Lord Jesus. And she's done some other stuff here or there that I've heard her stuff on. I've never really been too big a fan of her sound because I think it's the indie that I don't necessarily like, where it's a little too airy for the vocals. But this album, she definitely has some of that pieces towards the end of the album, but the beginning and the middle of the album, I actually quite enjoyed a lot. I think it's a big thing for her to do to keep producing her sound a little bit more and more to where it wasn't just this acoustic, airy thing that she's been doing for a while, but now go into more of different styles of indie music. And I did enjoy it, actually.
Yeah, it's a bit of a branch out.
Yeah. What do you think?
Pretty much a lot of what you said. I hadn't heard really Phoebe Bridgers too much, so I haven't even made that much of an opinion on it.
Okay.
So I'm really coming into this hot. And this was pretty good. I think, yeah, like, Haim was kind of like the blowout indie release of this week. So I have a lot of that in my mind. But this is a chiller, kind of more laid back, held in.
It reminded me of some of the early, the Japanese house music. Where with some of Amber's early stuff was kind of the stripped down things, except her voice is about, like, I love Amber's voice way more than Phoebe. Sorry, Phoebe, like, your music's not bad, but Amber's is ridiculous. But it reminded me of some of that stuff where it was her small EPs, but this was a lot of the album. But that is her sound in general, is kind of similar to that, not as well produced though. But
I was gonna say, like, not to follow some type of pun here, but the song Kyoto. Mm-hmm. Kind of captures that, similar to the Japanese house. It's like kind of bedroom rock, kind of not quite shoegazy, but just kind of a continuing rock flow. But it's very soft. I mean, again, like, it's upbeat. The drums are kind of punchy, but it's all kind of in the sort of box. Not box in a bad way, but it's meant to say it's chill. It's relaxing.
It's not very,
something that gets your heart going
exactly.
too quickly.
It's that chill indie that... There's definitely a lot of viewership, so there's a lot of people who like this, and it checks off all those boxes for that style of bedroom chill pop indie, is what I would call that. So like early B2B as well, stuff like that where you feel like you're sitting on a bed with a guitar pedal and acoustic guitar, and you're just chilling. There's a couple of good stuff in here, especially with the middle of it. Halloween, I really like that
Halloween
song
is really,
lot.
It's
I think
so
that
weird.
Is her best song I've ever heard her make so far. Definitely the height of the album for me. Even Chinese Satellite right after Halloween I did like. I didn't like towards the end. I didn't like I See You, Graceland 2 a little bit. But I thought I Know the End actually is a very, very good track to end the album on. But anyways, Halloween is, it's very, it's one of those indie songs I get, like I was talking about Heyman on Los Angeles. It's one of those songs that's perfectly produced for an indie track.
Oh, it's a surprise, but what I do for love. Some things I never expect. They killed a fan down by the stadium. Was only visiting, they beat him to death. Baby, it's Halloween, and we can be it.
To where it doesn't get that monotonous stuff that can be an issue with indie, but it has enough of her sound to sound like a Phoebe Bridgers song, but enough to push it to where you can hear her trying to push her sound further, trying to do little different things on the themes of it, the tonality of the song is fantastic. So I was very impressed with that song.
Yeah, and the tonality, like you were saying, really gets to shine on... In indie, really best, it does a lot with a little. And
yes, exactly.
Halloween is doing a lot with a little there. And how you're playing with the tone, how you're playing with just the easy sort of guitar, string, strumming, just kind of being the soothing thing on your ears that gets you into the song. It's that part of it's really thoughtfully crafted. It's just some of what the best of what indie does. So I was pleasantly surprised by this. I didn't think it's like, again, it doesn't have that like memorable.
It's the problem is there's, it gets kind of trailed off by the end of the album where it's a little lackluster towards the end, but there are definitely highlights of this album that say, well, okay, she is very talented. There is a lot of music that she's making now that I'm starting to like more than her earlier works. Because even like her stuff on 1975, I did not like at all. That was, I think, some of the lowest points on Notes. But with this, I think she's starting to get into her own self and become very, very solid indie artist. So, props.
Love it, love it, love it.
I love it when people change their fucking sound.
Yes. We do this podcast as a memorial, a testament to people changing their fucking sound. Arbitrary scale on that. I don't really know many Twitch bans or even ways you can get banned, so I'm just going to say this is a...
This is when you make an accidental homophobic slur.
I'm going to take this out of the offensive thing, because this is one of my favorite things the song got banned for on Twitch, was one time he was streaming from his car as he was like about to pull up to his house. So he was technically driving. Twitch really does not like that. And so
right.
Twitch banned him for less than a week, but more than a couple days because he was streaming while driving technically.
Yeah.
Or like while in a moving vehicle that he was... piloting.
Exactly. Or this is where you show feet on cam and you get out. Or the one chick who did, like, she was breastfeeding on Twitch and Twitch banned her for breastfeeding her kid. I was like, holy shit. People are wild.
No, see, that's always the line.
Breastfeeding is the line.
Because it's like, are you going to really, like, annoy a mother who's, like, dealing with her, like, business?
Brand her infant? Or is she trying to get views? Like, you don't know. Toe the line.
I think... if an infant is involved, it's on Twitch. If an infant is not involved, it's on OnlyFans.
Yeah.
I think that's...
I think that's allowed.
DM Evans and Associates Legal Corner.
I think Amazon's okay with that.
we'll ask Jeff Bezos in our next meeting. We usually like to end Audio Face on a fun note, but sometimes just like a little like light thing that happened. This is not really light at all. Huey, a rapper perhaps best known for his aughts single project, 2006 song, Pop, Lock, and Drop It, has unfortunately been shot and killed at the age of 31. He was one of two victims reported as shooting in Missouri on June 25th, so just this week. Yeah, he was 31 years old, died of his injuries from a local hospital. It's really tragic. That's really the biggest song I know him from. But like, yeah, Pop, Lock, and Drop It is just such a staple of 2000s rap music, which has highs and lows for sure. I mean, it's not like an amazing song per se. It's just like one of those things that's lyrical. It's like, playing
like
a lot
of like a random Jim Jones song or something that would get hit.
It's a lot of like a precursor to trap in the sense that the idea of the song is less behind its content necessarily, but like how rhythmic the lyrics of the hook is. It's even Pop, Lock, Drop. It's just like a sound that sounds really good together when you match it with a beat. That's kind of core to what trap is and does. So yeah, it's sad. Sad to see, but I should probably stop ending Audio Face episodes with deaths.
Audio Face before the bodies are cold. Real ones.
Yeah, this has been Audio Face. Next week is probably going to be interesting because usually around the week of the 4th of July in America, like, there is nothing. No,
so that's why I would probably like to do some of the albums that I want to talk about that we never got to really dive into.
Yeah, we should totally just like have this be an episode where we haven't done this in a while, but we did this earlier in the year. We're just like, we're going to play catch up a little bit.
Yeah, play catch up for 2020 albums and then maybe in another couple of weeks do music recommendations depending on what the industry is doing.
Oh yeah, there's a music recommendations episodes, recap episodes of like music that we've missed. There's some bonus episodes of like previews that we definitely want to do. There's a lot going on, but yeah, this is a lull in music. Usually would be because of this point in the summer, especially because of what's going on in the world this year. But we will be here for it all. Subscribe so you get every single bit of it. Subscribe so you also get our bonus stuff like Political Report, everything else going on. What does it mean to play us out? Thank you very much for listening to Audio Face. You can find Sean and Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. You can find me on Twitter at Dan from the Web and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. The entire show can be found on YouTube at youtube.audioface.show and on Twitter and Instagram at Audio Face Pod. Did you get all that? I don't know. Not like we say it at the end of every single episode. Thank you very much for joining us, and we will talk to you again next week with some more music. Cheers.